Father, we bow down to you, Lord, just thanking you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. Help us to glean just a little bit of what you have for us this morning, Lord. There's so much always in every passage that it's just beyond our kind of ability to soak it all in and take it all in and do it. But just help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we go through the Psalms today, we're in Psalm 115, and this is a remarkable, remarkable contrast between the futility of idols and the trustworthiness of God. And we know that, and we think that verse 8, I think, is the most important verse in this passage in one way, and that is, we become like the God that we worship. Just think about that. So my question would be, what gods are in your life? What gods are in my life other than the one true and living God? And I was thinking if we each made a calendar projection for this next week, let's say by half-hour periods, the way we think we're going to be spending each half-hour of every day, 24 hours, and just see what that would look like. And if you add up the times there, you'd probably get some idea of what's important to you. I mean, sleep is important, right? So that's probably one of the big ones. Eating is somewhat important, so that would be another one. But how much time would really be spent for praising him, for praying to him, time in his word, and just acknowledging him? And I would imagine for most of us, it's not very much time. And yet, as we look at this psalm and we see the futility, the utter futility of pursuing anything other than him. So it begins, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." So let's begin by just singing, "To God be the glory." And the words are on your notes there. You probably know them anyway, but let's just stand and sing this song.
To God be the glory. He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Together, everyone.
Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
Absolutely. To God give the glory, right? How much glory am I giving my Lord? Not enough. Whatever it is, not enough. But again, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles or the unbelievers say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. I was reading that verse, and I often think about my prayers, how I give him so much instruction, you know? And even in prayer meetings, I hear it all the time. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And I think that's good to ask him what we think, but it's not good to be giving him commands, because he doesn't need our commands. He really doesn't need my suggestions, apparently, because most of the time. But he's going to do as he pleases, because he's God. He's God. We're not. Now, these next six verses here, five verses here, are all about the futility of world vanity, the futility of idols, world idols. And just think about how our culture, how our government, how the world is so fixed on all of these gods, and they can all do nothing. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Now, whenever a man makes an idol, it's always less than the maker, right? They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. No idol will have anything to say. They can't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. So those are the gods of the Gentiles. Those are the gods of the unbelievers. And in Bible days, they actually were straightforward enough to fashion little gods, and they would identify themselves with that god. They would worship Mammon. That's the god of money. They would worship Bacchus. That's the god of excess and pleasure and drunkenness. They would worship Molech. That's the god of abortion, basically. They would worship Baal. That's a worship of nature. And so if you'd go up to anyone on the street probably today or outside, and you'd say, what gods do you worship? They'd say, we don't worship any gods. But they get all excited on Earth Day. They get all excited on Mother Nature. They get all excited about things out there, but not about the Creator. They all are worshiping the blessings, the creation, but not the Creator, right? And when you think about 60 million babies that we've aborted in this country alone, that's just a portion of the world's abortion. You see how we are so committed to Molech. We have a state here who is advertising a sanctuary of Molech. Come get your abortions here. We'll take care of you, right? Or however you want to go it, you know. Bacchus, you may think COVID is bad. Well, guess what? We have at least 50,000 people a year killed by drunken drivers, at least. And think about the untold millions whose lives are ruined by alcohol. And then we get all excited. You got to mask up, right? Got to mask up to keep from getting flu, right? Just, well, it gets in the way of my drinking. But we see here that we indeed are committed to idols. The world is committed to idolatry, really. Every government is committed to idolatry, more or less. Pretty much, anyway. So where are we? We see that Ashereth, the worship of sex. We see the billion, multi-billion pornography industry. So how many people are addicted to Ashereth? So that's where the world is, and that's where we can fringe into some of these things as well, not really in terms of unbelievers, but we can be spending time on some of these things other than God, whatever that is. And it could be good things, too. I mean, it could be maybe your grandchildren. Maybe you worship your grandchildren. I don't know. They're great, but they're still not God. Or maybe your garden. Maybe you like green thumb. Oh, my green thumb is, you know, well, you ought to see my pansies or whatever they are. So verse 8 then is really the one of the key verses, I think. Those who make them are like them. So over time, you absolutely become more like what you worship. So if you're worshiping nothing, what do you become? Nothing. As far as spiritual goes, or as far as value goes, every day you're worshiping an idol, you are wasting the potential that God has for you or for every person. And think about people that wasted their whole lives on idolatry and they haven't realized any of the potential that God created in them, because we're such a special, unique creation created in His image, right? And yet how many lives are ruined by the commitment to false idols? Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. So you may say, well, I don't make any idols. Well, do you trust in them? Do you spend your time in them? Are your thoughts about them? Those are all idols, aren't they? Thinking, whatever you worship. Now, we're given to worship something, right? Deuteronomy says man is driven to worship. And we kind of go over this maybe every week, but I think it's so important. If you're worshiping the one true and living God and you stop doing that, you think, well, my life is still going to be pretty good, right? I'll be just a little bit, maybe not quite as good, but now it'll still be really good. No, as soon as you leave worshiping the one true and God, you will immediately move to another God. And any other God other than the one true and God is about a downward nothing God, right? And so that's the situation here. Everyone who trusts in them becomes like them. Now we go to kind of a general thing for us here to trust in the Lord. And there are three responses here that you can kind of read along with me. But first the call is to Israel. O Israel, trust in the Lord. And then we respond, He is their help and their shield. And then they would go after the nation in those days. They would go to the priesthood, generally speaking. And who was the high priest initially was Aaron. So verse 10 is, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Then He is their help and their shield. And then they go to the rest of us. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Beautiful, huh? Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. Or you can just say a mind full of us. Think of that. His mind is full of you. Is that amazing or what? Now, all these other gods that we were talking about, they're dead. They don't even know who you are. And if they did, they couldn't do anything about it. But we have a God who has His mind full of us. The Lord has been mindful of you. And you can't deny that, can you? If you look at your life, If you look at yesterday, if you look at last week, if you look at last month, you knew he was mindful of you, right? You just know that by what he is blessing you with and how he is always there. The Lord has been mindful of us, and because of that, we can confidently say he will bless us. What did God tell Moses to tell the people about him there in the book of Numbers? We call that the benediction, don't we? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And so God wanted the nation of Israel to know that he wanted to bless them. And that is so amazing because of the old gods. There was never a situation they were scared to death. Muslims are even scared of Allah, right? And Allah can't do anything, but they still are scared of him, right? And so they're scared of their God. And we want to fear our God, but not in scared fear. God wants to know we are his and he is a blessing God. So here again, he will bless us, verse 12. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Oh, I like that. Do you know he will bless just as much the number one world person as the number 8,7,998,000,000 or whatever it is? Because he loves us all, and he will bless both small and great. He's no respecter of person, is he? That's the God we have available. Are we really serving him? And then he goes on, may the Lord give you increase, more and more. I wonder how many hours I've spent in my life trying to get increase for myself apart from the Lord. How many courses have I taken trying to improve my ability to get more increase? May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. Think about the heritage that every child has that has godly parents. It doesn't mean they're going to be godly, but it does mean they've got a great heritage there, doesn't it? May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord. And just as a reminder there, who is that? Who made heaven and earth? I think about Jesus singing this hymn. There are the six Hillel Psalms, and they would have probably sung this one after. Typically, they sing the first two before the Seder, and then they sing the last ones afterward. And we read in Matthew where it said, and they sang a hymn, or it can be hymns. It doesn't have to be singular. They sang a hymn as they left to go to Gethsemane. So he would have been singing this very hymn, knowing that full well in a few hours he'd be on that cross, and that he's the one that made the cross, he's the one that made the hill, he's the one that made everything else, has control over it all. But he came to do that for you and for me, to die that we would have our sins paid, the wrath of God to be satisfied. The Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. That's everything. But the earth, he's given to the children of men. So he put Adam in charge of the earth, didn't he? And we have some access to impacting the earth in which we live. We can either create war or we can work toward peace. We can either create a mess or we can be cleaning up messes. Confusion, or we can create order. Now, as soon as we come against God's law, as soon as we turn away from it, there's nothing but confusion. Just think of the confusion. I was just looking at a few quotes, not that it was a waste of time to look at it very deeply, but they quoted about a dozen politicians that are all in the news about the things they had said about the wall. border wall with President Trump, how it was immoral and it was atrocious and it was this and it should never be done. Well, guess what? Now, all of a sudden, they're for the wall. So we have chaos. We have confusion. Doctors, in some cases, are not allowed to fill out a birth certificate in terms of sex. It's to be determined. Think of that. Think of the confusion of that. Not much longer, though. That's going to be straight down pretty soon, isn't it? He has given the earth to the children of men. Now, this is important here. The dead do not praise the Lord. Right? Do you know any dead are praising the Lord apart from God? Now, heaven is filled of people praising him. But the dead, we're talking about here, those that are not in heaven, they do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. So that covers it all there. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So think about that. The dead cannot. The wicked will not. And the careless do not. But we will praise the Lord, right?
Yes.
And so it closes then on hallelujah, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this psalm, and we just thank you for who you are, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto you. And so direct our prayers this morning, Lord, as you always do and always want to, your Holy Spirit, that we would use these moments just acknowledging you and, Lord, knowing, being reminded by the psalm and over and over again, you know every word that's going to be said this morning. You already know what it is. You know everything we pray for, you already know. But we want to be on the side of your will, doing what you would have us to do, because you have us here for a reason. You brought each one here this morning for a reason, and we want to praise you, we want to worship you, and we want to pray. You've given us prayer, and so help us now to just, in one accord, this little family, just coming to you and praying what you put on our hearts to bring to you, in Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the hour here, so thank you for praying. Just closing with Jesus' words here in Matthew 24. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Father, we know the only answer is you. We know we have that answer. That answer is in you, Lord Jesus. There is no other way. And Lord, help the body of Christ to stand for you today. Hundreds of millions of believers, may they stand for you today. Governments are great to pray for and all, but you have put us here one-on-one. Wherever you have each believer, there will be those opportunities that you give them just today and every day to touch another life, that no one else is there to touch that life. And you're going to do what you're going to do with or without us, but you allow us to be part of that, and you allow us to share in that blessing. And so, Lord, may we be active in being available to you, Lord, whatever that means and whatever ways that you would give us or different circumstances and all. But, Lord, the needs are there all over the place, Lord. And there's about the same number saved today as there's always been. So I can't say that it's so much more ungodly today than it's ever been. We have louder voices against you. But the alternative of choice you have left there, and you'll even use the Antichrist soon to rally everybody against you to get rid of the evil and the wickedness. Getting close, Lord. We don't have much time, but you've given us this morning, and we can come and pray and be together. And as we leave, may we just be shouting, really, hallelujah, as we've already said, the dead can't praise you. The wicked won't praise you. The lukewarm, careless will not praise you. But we will praise you. We will say, praise the Lord. So let's just sing this very familiar song here, 10,000 Reasons to Praise Him.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never.
Worship His holy name.
Father, we do worship your holy name. As we leave this place, Lord, may we just have that continuation of closeness with you, and may we be saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We worship you, we praise you. Thank you for each one here. Bless them because they came, and because you will find us available this whole day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.